Brethren, would you please turn in the New Testament to the book of Romans? It's actually a letter to a church, the church at Rome. Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12, we're going to look at one verse, the very first verse in the book. You notice, brethren, that this Romans, this verse, we're going to read chapter 12, verse 1. It is, of course, at the beginning of a chapter. Chapters and verses, the numbers were added sometime after the books were written and the letters were written. And they help us locate scriptures that we want to point out. And I want to remind you or tell you, brethren, that in Romans, in this letter, it's a letter of the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome. If my memory is right, he never did get to go to them. I'm not sure about that. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I know that he wanted to go. And he said more than once, he wrote more than once, he wanted to come to them. But he's writing to them. And the letter of to the church at Rome has two major divisions in it. Two major parts. The first 11 chapters of this letter are doctrinal. I say to you a lot of times, this scripture is doctrine, or this scripture is practical religion, practical teaching on how to do right. The first 11 chapters in the book of Romans are deep doctrinal teachings. Wonderful. You know some of those verses, 8th chapter of Romans. A lot of preaching, a lot of teaching in there about, in these first 11 chapters, about election, predestination, sanctification, justification by faith, doctrinal principles that are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, chapter 12 starts with practical Christian living. We've been studying on Sunday nights in the book of James. And how many times have I said to you, it's very much about practical Christian living. Things, straightforward things, exhortations that we ought to do because of what God's done for us. First 11 chapters in Romans, doctrinal principles. 12 through 16, the end of the letter, very practical things. I want to read chapter 12, verse 1. The Word of God says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, brethren, in that verse, just reading through that verse, you see he doesn't talk about sanctification as such, or election, or predestination, or justification by faith. He says, this is what you need to do. There's a therefore, you see, in that verse. He says, I beseech you, therefore. And I think he's kind of saying, all those things I've written to you about how you're saved, how you're predestinated, how you're the elect child of God, all of that boils down to, or in light of all that, you need to, therefore, do something. And that's what he's saying. Also, in the 36th verse of chapter 11, the verse right above this, he says, for of him and through him and to him are all things. That's God. To whom be glory forever and ever. And you could argue, you could say that this next verse is on the coattails of the one above it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because all things are of God, are through him, and to him all things, then you ought to do this thing, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Either way is good with me. But let me read the verse again, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God bless the reading of His Word, and God bless the preaching of His Word. I want to bring you two two divisions in this sermon this morning. Two main thoughts. First of all, brethren, the sacrifice. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want to preach to you this morning about sacrifice. Sacrifices that have been made, sacrifices to be made. The sacrifice that saved your soul. The sacrifice that removes from you the power of sin, the penalty of sin. The sacrifice made by someone. And then, second part, I want to preach to you about what this verse says, the sacrifice you and I ought to make, that we're exhorted to do. Sacrifice. In baseball, when there's a player on base and the batter hits a long fly ball out in the field and it's caught, but the runner advances because the ball is so far out he can get to the next base before the ball gets there. That's called a what? Sacrifice. Yeah, the batter, if he can, sometimes his goal, I guess, is to just hit it a long way. Not necessarily to hit a home run. That's better, much better. But the goal is just to advance the runner. So he hits it a long way. And he's out. He goes back to the dugout. But the runner advances either to the next base, or if he's on third, sometimes he runs home. They call it a sacrifice fly. Giving up something for something else. Sacrifice. I looked up the word sacrifice. This is not from the Bible dictionary. It's from Webster's. Sacrifice, he says, is an act of offering to a deity something precious. An act of offering to a deity something precious. The deity, in our case, brethren, is God Almighty. The only true deity, God Almighty. And the something precious that earned your salvation, that brought about, that wrought your salvation and mine, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in our case, for our benefit, a sacrifice was offered. The offering was necessary, brethren, because the deity, holy, holy, holy God, as the seraphim said in Isaiah's vision, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. That was what they flew about above the throne of God, shouting. In our case, that holy God was wronged. He was offended. We just put human terms on things we're trying to teach, doctrines we're trying to teach, principles we're trying to teach. He was wronged. His law had been broken. Who broke it? We did. Adam did. Adam and Eve. And we did in them. His law had been broken, resulting in separation from God. Death. He said, don't do this. In the day you do it, you will die. And separation, death is separation. Separation of life from the body. Separation of God's people from Him. There was a death there that occurred. And the guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned them from their sin. Through the sacrifice of something precious, the guilty pair could not repair the damage. We were estranged, separated from God, dead in trespasses and sins, condemned, rightly so. So someone, since we could not make the sacrificial offering necessary to reconcile us to a holy, holy, holy God, someone else must do so, must make the offering. And as it turns out, brethren, one who had not offended, had not sinned, one who was precious. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious an act of offering to a deity something precious. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. The precious name of Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, sinless Son of God, only Son of God, the one who would become flesh and dwell among us. He was given a body, a human body. He retained his deity, but he also took on a body. Sinless deity took on the form of mankind. Let me give you some scripture references about that I love. I hope you love them too. In Hebrews, we studied that book of Hebrews for a year or more here on Sunday nights. Wonderful, wonderful teaching in the book of Hebrews. We're talking now, brethren, we're thinking about the act of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus in your behalf and mine. Hebrews, and Him taking on a body. God taking on a body. Hebrews 2:16 says, He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. When I quoted that to you before, I've done it three or four times, probably more, since I've been your pastor. I always, when I read that verse and I'm standing here, it says, He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. What the writer is saying is that when God came and took on a body, it wasn't an angelic body, it was a human body. He retained His deity, but He also was fully human. Fully God, fully man. I can say that to you, but I cannot explain it to you, because I don't understand it fully, and I don't think any man can. But He was the God-man. And I also say to you, when He took on Him the seed of Abraham, He took on the likeness of human flesh, not just the likeness, but He was made in our likeness. He was human. But He also took us on as a project. He took us on His back. He carried us. He took on our sins. He took us on. Wherefore, in all things, verse 17, Hebrews 2:17, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. Isn't that great, brethren? He was made like we were. He was made into a man to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. To reconcile you to God. There's a verse, I don't know where it is now, and I can't quote it exactly, but it says, God was reconciling Himself through Christ Jesus to us. Now, He wasn't estranged, we were. But God, brethren, through what Christ Jesus did, what God's Son did, brethren, God and you became reconciled. I love that word, reconciled. I really can't define it, but if like you or I were ever to get at odds, if something happened and we were upset with each other, didn't feel right toward each other, had hard feelings or a grudge or something, brethren, if something came about and we got reconciled, that's a good feeling, to be reconciled. Jesus, brethren, came and took on a body to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now go with you to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, we're going to read Hebrews 10:12-14. 10:12-14. And we're talking about the offering made by Jesus to the Father in our behalf. The sacrifice. Sacrificial offering. Hebrews 10:10. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. You get that? I didn't read the whole verse. But I'm going to read the rest of it in just a moment, brethren. But here's a doctrinal truth, brethren. You are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. That's something precious, brethren. No wonder we say, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. No wonder we say, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No wonder we say, precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. You are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once. One time. One time he was offered. No need to offer again. No need to offer a sacrifice over and over under the law like they used to do. It's been done. It's finished. It's finished. Now verse 12. This man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He's seated there at this instant, brethren, at the right hand of God, because his sacrificial work is complete. He now mediates. He now intercedes for us. This man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Now verse 14. For by one offering, what's the sacrifice? It's an act of offering to a deity something precious. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By his offering, his one offering, you are perfected forever. Oh, what a sacrifice. What an offering. Praise God for that, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, therefore. I think that therefore, brethren, is there because of what, partly because of what I read to you from Hebrews, but it's also there for what Paul, the apostle, wrote in the first 11 chapters. What God has done for you, brethren, in light of that, he urges us to make an offering, to make a sacrifice unto God. Now to part two, our offering, brethren, our sacrifice, the verse that's our scripture lesson for today. I want to take the verse and just go word by word, phrase by phrase, and give you some thoughts. I pray they're from God. I pray God will direct my thoughts. I beseech you. I. Who is the I there? It's the Apostle Paul. He's writing this letter. He's writing this letter, brethren, to a church of Jesus Christ in the earth. That church happened to be located in Paul's day at Rome. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Scripture is profitable, brethren, for you and me today as we gather together. The Apostle Paul who persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. But he was one of those, brethren, that it behooved Jesus to be made like so that he could come and save him. And you're one of those, brethren. If you've been born again, if you love God, it's because he first loved you. And brethren, Paul the Apostle says to these fellow believers at Rome, he says, I, the Apostle Paul, who met Jesus on the road to Damascus and was converted on the road to Damascus and became a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached and he wrote. He presented his body a living sacrifice. You can read in, I think it's the Corinthian letter, the things that happened to him. You can read in Acts that we studied the things that happened to him. Got stoned, beaten nearly to death with stones, beaten with stripes, shipwrecked, arrested, put in prison. What a sacrifice, huh? I beseech you, he's not asking us, brethren, to do anything that he wouldn't do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, I urge you, I exhort you, therefore, I already gave you what the therefore is there for, brethren. You claim to believe on Jesus. You claim to believe that God is the one true and living God. Jesus Christ is his Son. You claim to believe he died for you on Calvary, rose again the third day, is now seated at the right hand of the Father, your brother or sister in Christ if you believe that. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, fellow believers, by the mercies of God. I think he means there, in light of the mercy extended to you and to me. Mercy. One definition is not getting what you deserve. In light of the mercy God has shown to you, do this, that. Ye, you, me, present your body. Present your body. Present. That word can also be pronounced present. It's what we give at Christmas, isn't it? We present people with presents. We present them something. We hold it out. We offer it. Present your body. A living sacrifice. Read the Old Testament law. Read it about sacrifices. I've been reading in Kings and Chronicles about the sacrifices. Of course, you read in the Mosaic Law, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, about the offerings set up under the law. I've been reading of late how many animals Solomon sacrificed at the dedication of the temple. Thousands of them. Dead. They were every one dead. They killed them and prepared them before they put them on the altar. Dead, every one of them. Well, not a one took away sin. Hebrews 10:4 says, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. So it was, they were useless in that regard as far as taking away sin. But I don't mean to discount them. Every one of them, brethren, pointed to something. It was a picture. Every one of the many thousands that were offered pointed to a sacrifice that would be made by Christ Jesus. A living sacrifice. He was living, brethren. When he went to the altar, he was alive, very much alive. And he died on the altar. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. God does not require the death of you or me, literally, on a cross or on an altar. At least Scripture doesn't require that. Many saints of God, that's been required of them, and they've gone through that. Doesn't forgive anybody's sin, doesn't make them perfect, but it's a wonderful sacrifice. And we should be willing to make that sacrifice. But what he does require specifically here, he tells us, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your body. Where your mind commands your body, that's where it goes. I command my hand to pick up this right here. Take a sip. My mind controlled that right there. My mind did. What I do, what my mind tells me to do, brethren, ought to be preceded by what the Spirit leads me to do. Our bodies. Present your body a living sacrifice. Not just your physical body, but the actions that I take, the thoughts that I think, the words that I say, should be mind, body, and spirit. I should be walking by the Spirit of God, influencing my mind, which influences my body. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, holy. In the day of the Old Testament sacrifice, an animal was brought in to be offered on the altar. Do you know what? That animal had to be looked over, examined, and there was to be no flaw in that animal. The first of those, the big example was in the Exodus in Passover. They were to take a lamb. It could be a goat or a sheep from the flock of the first year without spot or blemish. Otherwise, it was not fit to be offered. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy. There was something holy, a picture of holiness in that lamb or that goat, that yearling animal. Because if it came with a broken leg or some kind of a flaw in it, it was not to be used. What's that a picture of, brethren? A couple of things. One, the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. The sinless Lamb of God. No flaws in Him. The other thing is that we're to be holy before God. We're not to come. We're flawed people. We are. But if we're living in sin and we know it, And we come in and say, well, I want to make an offering to God. That's not a holy sacrifice there. You are made holy in an eternal sense by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're made holy in an eternal sense. The only way you're seen as holy by the God the Father. He sees you through the lens of the sacrifice of the only Son of God. He looks at you through that way, and you're made holy that way. But Paul says, you bring a sacrifice, and it's got to be holy. God says, I'm holy, so you be holy. What he means there, brethren, is a practical holiness. I came to church for many years. I came to church many years in an unholy condition. I came. And I'm glad I was there. That's just better than laying out like I was the night before. But I used to drag in, brethren, and avoid people because I thought if they got around me very close, they'd know how unholy I was. That's the way I came. And brethren, you know, in a way, I know God was pleased that I was there, but he looked at me and he said, man, you're unholy this morning. You don't have any holiness about you except that my son died for you, and I'm going to look at you this morning through that lens instead of the way you really are, the way you acted last night. That's the way I did. I used to come, brethren. But now, brethren, praise God. Praise God. I'm by the grace of God. It's nothing but by the grace of God. I'm able to have a little practical holiness about me. And now I come to present my body, a physical body, and it's more holy than it used to be, practically speaking. And I hope yours is too, brethren. I hope you're growing in grace and the knowledge of Lord and Savior. I hope you're not living in an unholy way. Now we all sin. We all do. But I'm out of that, what I used to do, brethren, as a way of life. And it was a way of life for me. And Paul says, in light of what God's done, in light of the mercies he's extended to you, present your body a living sacrifice, holy. And that's acceptable unto God. That sacrifice is. Jesus' sacrifice, brethren, was acceptable. And you've heard me say over and over and over, I know that it was acceptable to God because the proof is the empty tomb. That's the proof right there. On Jesus' sacrifice, he raised him from the dead. He accepted his offering. But brethren, when I come into the house of God, and I've been praying, I've been reading my Bible, I've been mortifying the flesh, I've been seeking after God, when I come into the house of God like that, I am holy. I'm practically holy. I'm not sinless, but there's a practical holiness. And brethren, if you could not do that, Paul would not tell you to do it. God would not ever tell you to do that. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God unto God. And the last phrase is, I love it, which is your reasonable service. Isn't that good? Paul says, look, we're not asking you to do anything impossible. Not asking you to do anything I wouldn't do, Paul says. I'm just telling you, it's what you ought to do. It was reasonable in light of what's been done for you. So today, I've tried to talk to you a little bit about doctrinal things and the offering of Jesus Christ. And then in part two, I've tried to urge you, along with Paul, to be holy because God is holy. And to present your body a living sacrifice. Now every one of you have presented your body in here this morning. We all have. Sister Teresa presented her body. Now she's removed it. She says the pain. She can't stand the pain. So we need to pray for her, brethren. But one way, brethren, that you can offer a sacrifice to God is by presenting your body in this place right here. It's your reasonable service. In fact, the Word of God says you ought to do it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake it. Come to the house of God if you claim to be a believer. Now that's one way right there, and I thank God for that this morning. I thank God for it. But also, brethren, I ask you and I ask myself, I remind myself that I need to say, God, when I wake up in the morning, I need to say, Lord, I'm presenting my body to you today. Would you please direct me on how to use it? I'm going to make it as holy as I can. I'm going to try to make it presentable for you, before you. In an eternal sense, you've made me holy already, God. But I want to walk the way Jesus walked. I want to follow Him. I want to follow Scripture. So God, give me opportunities today. Help me to recognize it when it's there before me, an opportunity to make an offering before you. It could be some of my time that's so valuable, a precious thing to me. What's more precious than time? I mentioned earlier, time with grandchildren, time with loved ones. Oh, it's precious. It's precious. Is it going to be time, Lord? If it's time, I'll give it. Is there going to be a need I see, a financial need, or some kind of material need that I see that I want to give up something that's precious to me, some cash? Lord, show me how to make that sacrifice. Is it energy? Is it labor? Is it sweat? Whatever it is, Lord, show me the opportunity to be a living sacrifice for you. Brethren, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God inspired. This is God's words to you and me through the Apostle Paul. A man that presented his body a living sacrifice day in and day out. Until he would write one day, I have finished the course. I finished the race. I'm ready to be offered now. I'm ready to go. But until that time, brethren, he was writing, he was traveling, he was preaching, he was serving God. And that's the only way to be happy, brethren, the only way to honor God. I exhort you to do it. I beseech you to do it. I beseech me to do that very thing. And God will be pleased and you'll be blessed by it. And others also. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word and these scriptures that are so familiar to us, Lord, but let them not just be words on the page and nice thoughts, oh God. Let them be our motto. Let them be in the forefront of our minds. Let them be our goal day by day to do these things. Give us the grace to do that, we pray. Show us, Lord, opportunities when we leave here. Show us ways that we can present our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to you, which is our reasonable service. Show us. And when we see it, oh God, bless us not to avoid it, run from it, ignore it. Let us go to it and embrace it, knowing, God, that's your command, that you'll be glorified by it, and we'll be blessed by it, and others too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.